You're listening to
Mike and Trisha Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM.
It's our monthly segment. We call it Ask a Lawyer with Michael Gopin. In fact, if there's like a legal issue that you would like him to weigh in on, there is a spot on kisselpaso.com where you can click on it, look for it in the must read bar, and you can send over your question. Or if you have our app, you can smartphone over your question for Michael Gopin, and we'll put it in front of him the next time we have him in-house, which will be in February. These are some of the questions that came in prior to his visit today.
Okay, this one's from Estefania. She says, in a four-car pileup on the freeway, I was the second car involved in the crash. One car rear-ended another, and so on. I was rear-ended into the person in front of me, and now that person is coming after my insurance for the accident. Is this how this works? I would have never hit that person if it wasn't for the other car running into me. Any information would be greatly appreciated, Mr. Gopin.
Well, these are always tough. The multi-car accidents, rear end after rear end after rear end. We know for sure the lead car is always.
It's like the. It's like the. I'm sorry, but it's like that movie, The Human Caterpillar.
No, it's not.
But it's like a vehicle caterpillar.
Oh, God. Okay. Sorry. You're dealing with Beavis and Butthead here.
I tell you. And anyway, the lead car is always in good shape in terms of liability. We know that the lead car didn't cause this accident. But all the cars behind him may have contributed to the accident. So we don't know which really occurred first. You'll have different stories from all these different cars.
Chicken, the egg.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So is it the fourth car's fault in this case, which caused the chain reaction? Or was everybody following too close, which caused the problem? The lead car is definitely going to go after probably everybody in line to look at their insurance to see, you know, who's going to be willing to pay, who's not willing to pay.
Yeah.
So this is kind of how it works. The question usually is, was there more than one impact? Sometimes you could feel two impacts, and so you know that maybe the back car didn't start this, maybe it was another accident. So all those things come into play. Let your insurance company handle it. I hope you weren't injured. If you were injured, then, of course, the third and the fourth car are the ones that you'll be looking at.
Ah, okay, okay.
Man.
What a mess.
It does sound
those
like it, right?
Those can be tricky fact situations.
And see, this is why I hate driving on the freeway, because I'm, you know what? I just don't like it. So I will go on Mesa or Montana, and I'll go from one end of town to the other on Montana, because I hate the freeway, and for that reason, because people just drive too crazy here. I'm sorry, but they totally do.
Well, they don't drive much less crazy on side streets either,
right.
Girl.
No, I know you can get into an accident there too, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm so much less likely to get, you know, run into on Montana.
Well, you'll also be going slower than you on the freeway, so it's.
Yeah, there you go.
Jackson, I don't know. You've never driven with her, have you?
That's true.
The only place that she drives slow is over the spaghetti bowl because she's so deathly scared of it.
I hate the spaghetti bowl.
I think I still have the marks from her holding on to me saying, shut up, stupid.
Well, he was talking and making fun of me, and I'm like, I'm driving. You should probably shut up.
Yeah, so
I don't like heights.
Joe Badalus
so
that way too.
Don't assume that she drives slower on the side streets, okay?
Just on the spaghetti bowl.
yeah. I mean, the only thing really that stops her from going too fast are the constant lights.
Yeah. Shut up.
At least she stops for them, right?
I know, right? There you go. Jackson says, I fell off the roof during a shift of mine installing solar panels for a company here in town. Initially, they were offering to pay for my medical bills, but after I missed 2 weeks of work, I was let go from my job and my worker's comp was voided from what they're telling me. What can I do about this?
Well, that depends if the company has Texas worker's comp or not. If they have official Texas worker's comp, you just need to file your claim with the Texas Workers Comp Commission and file your claim and send them your bills and everything will be covered under workers comp. If they're a non-subscriber to the act, that's when it becomes a little tricky. You'll have a direct action against the employer. You'll have to be able to prove that the employer was at least 1% negligent in this case. So they had to have done something wrong or negligent that caused you to fall off the roof. So that's what you have to think about, what they did to contribute to this accident.
Okay, so let's say they are 1% negligent.
Okay.
Does the percentage change the amount of money you're going to get?
Not in non-subscriber cases.
Okay.
Because the negligence of the employee can't be held against him in those cases. So in a typical car accident case, yes, it would. If it was 1%, 99%, You can't recover. But in the non-subscriber workers' comps, as long as they're some negligence, 1%, very small, yes, they can recover and they'll get their full damages. There won't be any stopping that.
Oh, okay.
You know, the question with your employer is, you know, are they judgment-proof? Do they have assets that can be collected upon?
See, that's the thing. I mean, so many companies, the first thing they do is they go and they make sure that they don't have anything personally that you can go after.
Right. So it depends on the size of the company and their financial situation.
Okay. I guess it's probably a good thing to find out with your employer if they are a subscriber or not.
Well, they have to tell you. They have to post it.
Oh, okay. That's what those things are like in break rooms and stuff
like
that.
Correct, yes. So they have to post that they have Texas workers' comp or not.
And they don't have to be?
They don't have to be. You can be a non-subscriber and basically as a company risk the liability.
Wow.
And many companies do because of the workers' comp rates. But
yeah.
They have a definite fear factor there. And some of them try to treat their employees right and pay and do what's right. And others just ignore.
Oh, wow. Sunny says that she did not renew her commercial lease in late December of last year. But she had done some improvements as a tenant under the commercial lease that had allowed her to do so. Then she said, I was told that I had to take the improvements down and I would be charged $4,800, but her landlord would not allow her to get her contractor to take the improvements down. And as of now, she still hasn't been given back her deposit or the difference between the deposit and the improvements. The owner of the building is a lawyer. What are my options? Is it worth it to sue him over her $6,000 deposit that's still owed to her?
Well, it's certainly worth looking into. I would need to read the lease to determine whether or not this issue was even brought up in there. Was there a clause in the commercial lease that talked about your right and ability to add on, make improvements, and what would happen at the end of the lease? So all these things were probably thought out in advance and in the lease. So depending on what the lease says is the answer to this question.
Okay, but what happens if it's not addressed in the lease and it was like just kind of a passing verbal type thing?
Well, then I think it's worth pursuing. I mean, it may become a swearing match between you and the landlord. But if your landlord told you that, yes, you could do it and didn't tell you that, you know, anything else, like, well, you'd be charged for it later or anything like that, well, then I think you have in pretty good shape because they're going to hold the landlord, because they're the one who wrote the lease, to a higher standard than they're going to hold you.
Okay.
So I think you'll have a lot of benefits there and potential to be able to succeed. You know, I would sit down with the landlord and see if you can work it out. If not, I would, you know, talk to a lawyer, have them write the landlord a letter and see if they can negotiate and resolve it.
Because we're always talking about make sure everything's in your contract, make sure everything's in your lease. But sometimes things like this do come up. I mean, like, probably, you know, a couple of months in, she's like, you know what, I want to do this, that, the other. And he was like, yeah, okay, whatever, that's fine.
Sure.
And then you just never think to get it in writing because you're like, oh, no, you know, I'm already in the lease, whatever.
And I don't know if these improvements were really an improvement in the landlord's view or is just an improvement because of the type of business the tenant had.
Right.
So, you know, that's a question, too. What is an improvement to one may be a detriment to the other. So, you know, all those things would need to be determined by the facts.
Okay.
All right. Is that was that our last one?
Yep.
I wasn't counting. I was trying not to cough.
I know you were.
You did good. You did.
Did I good? Good. Because about this time of the morning, my throat gets so irritated.
Yeah.
It's like the last thing I have. But from the positive test, but it's so annoying. Although I'm cool now that, you know, I have this superpower, right? You get a superpower,
here,
right? For like, you're good for like, what, 30, 60 days?
At least, yeah.
Yes.
Immunity.
Guess who's going to a bar now?
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. So Ask a Lawyer with Michael Gopin. If there is a legal question you would like to put in front of him, go to KissElPaso.com, must read bar. There's a place there that you click on, and you can send us your question or use your free 93.1 KISS FM mobile app. Michael Gopin, thank you so much.
Thanks
and we'll see you next month.
See you in February.